Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
To bring us into balance, we can go to Philippians 3:19, and that is that I might be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but all self-imposed, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, not the final authority of law. A law-freed conscience can be a spirit-filled conscience. We encourage people to know God, be still, and then really know God. Freedom from sin and law comes with the increasing intimacy we find in knowing God. We honor and respect the law, but the law is not the final authority. The law of the heart of God in perfect love is where we base our security and our guide for a healthy conscience. Now, in building a strong conscience, the word in 1 Corinthians 8:7 is for powerful or mighty. And in a mighty, powerful conscience, we are able to discern and be sensitive to others, to our calling, to our conscience. We will have a vital knowledge of God. And by the way, if you want a vital knowledge of God, you better be studying the Word of God. You cannot get just intuitive final instruction. Yes, God can lead you in some intuitive ways, but as you go to the Scripture, you'll see where the cement is that has given you the correct intuition. And then a good conscience and power enjoys freedom in serving. Now, I'm not saying serving is a piece of cake. No, it is hard work. It is perseverance. And it needs to exercise tolerance and forbearance. Because we need to be sensitive to a weaker person's conscience. Paul wanted every Christian to come to this place. It's not an overnight accomplishment, but built on a growing, intimate knowledge of God as revealed through His Word and a progressive faith experience with Him. Yes, I'm repeating myself a lot today because Peter said that we needed to be reminded constantly of what it is to live in the power of His presence and His precious promises. So many precious people live under the burden of desiring to be obedient, and there is certainly virtue in that motive. It's called the law of love. Romans 12:8-10. Let he who exhorts exhort in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's in verse 9. And may I say that when it says, let love be without hypocrisy, it's saying, don't be two-faced. The unbelieving world will catch that in a moment, probably long before we are, when we're trying to be kind to one another and thinking one thing about them, and then doing another. Okay, well, enough said for now. Let's also be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given in hospitality, and all of that, it then says, and then bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We see what Paul wanted every Christian to know in learning the law of love. Now, a one-liner I want you to remember. Do not allow temporal pain to block the flow of eternal love. I repeat, do not let the temporal pain of a wounded conscience, a weak conscience, a seared conscience, an evil conscience that we'll talk about later, but do not let those kind of pain blocks flow the eternal love of the true love of God that lives within. Now, as we combine studying eternal love and how it shows up in the hearts of the conscience, the whole concept of the conscience is its being absolute in decision evaluation. I'm going to repeat that. The conscience and the concept of the conscience in its use within our being is that we have to be able to make absolute choices in being guided in decision evaluation. God, who is the author of the conscience, has never offered, well, maybe yes on this case, or maybe just no for now, when teaching the values of the conscience. You see, man was created by the God of absolute truth, not partial truth, not sometimes okay and sometimes not. There's no split in truth. Without an absolute standard of truth, the conscience gets warped and retarded and sometimes beyond repair. And only in God can absolute truth guide and prevail over all deception. There can be no sliding scale of morality. You know, in college and high school, sometimes test papers get judged and graded on a sliding scale. How many made an A? How many made a B? How many had the correct choices? Remove the standard and you neutralize the conscience. The conscience is activated by and responsive to God's standard. An awareness of God is directly proportional to one's knowledge of God. Today, in some churches, it appears that there is a certain area in failing to discern that of knowing God intimately. Oh, many have great knowledge about God, but they do not know Him intimately to hear His voice. As one gains knowledge of God and it increases, the more acute God's consciousness becomes. We are commanded in the Bible to seek God some 72 times. For the conscience to perform correctly, knowledge of God is imperative. And he says, study to show thyself a workman approved unto God, so that we will listen and know and hear and do. In the Old Testament behavior was judged in the light of a relationship with God Himself. Who I am is developed in my conscience as one sees who He is. You see, the natural result of God consciousness is the awareness of one's self. The conscience allows a person to look at themselves in the light of God's Word and His character. Both being and behavior are related primarily to God's character as revealed through His Word and what He has provided for us on the completed work of the cross when He said, "It is finished." All that you sent me to do, Father, I have done. And then he was ready to return back to his Father, where he now lives daily, moment by moment, interceding for the very people he hung on the cross to redeem, sanctify, save, justify, and one day glorify. As we close today, we can reflect on the Old Testament saints and the gift that is given to them beyond compare. What I do, how I think, and what I say are irresistibly related to who He is. Absolute of God is the trust and final authority for a conscience to function as created. Mind you now, Israel stood alone among the nations in her worship of one God. Israel was considered an theistic nation by other idol-worshipping cultures. Yet it was this very monotheism that restored conscience to the place where God intended it. In the Old Testament saint, there was a passion for God, an awareness of the presence of the Holy One of Israel. What the Jew gave to the conscience concept was God consciousness. The Jewish commitment to God allowed the conscience to function properly, bringing God consciousness to the forefront. In fact, conscience was to the Jew God consciousness. Because of the Old Testament saint's life was surrounded and permeated with the knowledge and the presence of God, through the activity of his conscience, he could and would reflect upon behavior in light of this consciousness. And if we wanted to go through and do a study on that, we could simply read Psalms 139. What we find then is that in no word was needed to define or explain what to the Jew was a way of life. They had God. They didn't need a word. It was a simple matter to gauge one's behavior with God's will and character. This is the conscience at work. Now, I want you to get this because it's very important. As far as the Old Testament is concerned, the key factor in the conscience concept is God consciousness. Conscious is a conscious awareness of God as revealed in His Word. Grasping this concept of God consciousness as conscience is crucial to understanding the conscience concept. The Bible reveals that the Old Testament conscience activity brought an awareness of God into the behavior pattern of the Old Testament saint. He could compare his actions with that of God as revealed through the Word. In other words, the conscience brought a sense of satisfaction when a person's behavior was consistent with God's character, and a sense of shame and dissatisfaction when it wasn't. Is that still true today in the life of a child of God? Now, mind you, this is absolutely incredible. To be a conscious of God means that God chose to reveal Himself, and the chosen for such an unveiling were to the Jews. But the very awareness of God created an awareness of oneself as the Old Testament saint reflected on his behavior in the light of the knowledge of God. Therefore, the "Who am I?" question is answered. Because they were God-centered, the Jewish culture brought a quantum leap in the whole concept of conscience for God. They discovered the absolute. You see, man was created by the absolute. Thus, he needs absolutes. He demands absolutes. Of all that the Jewish people did and accomplished, the most important realization was that of absolution. The idea that God is in control of a person as well as a nation's destiny. In our era of relativism, absolutes are ridiculed and maligned. Yet without absolutes, man could not even communicate. Can you imagine trying to go to the moon on relativism or to Mars? If we choose to believe that God is God, then we must also accept the fact that man was created with absolutes. I know I'm repeating myself, but one more time. Man cannot exist without absolutes. Why I stress absolutes is that it is the one thing above others, all other, that shapes the conscience. The conscience is indelibly related to an absolute. Without an absolute standard of truth, the conscience is warped and retarded beyond repair. And in God, man has an absolute standard of truth. Man was created a moral being, and as such demands absolute moral standards. That standard is the word and the character of God. A man-centered culture can never have an effective conscience, only it is a defective one. Now, not only did the Jews provide for the realization of God consciousness, but they also introduced the necessary imperative in conscience activity, and that is an absolute standard of truth. The conscience is activated by and responsive to this standard, which is God's will and character as revealed in His Word. Change the standard and you change the conscience. Remove the standard and you neutralize the conscience. There can be no sliding scale of morality. Now, this brings us to a very important point, one that no godly Jew ever neglected, but one the church seems to have forsaken today. And that is of knowing God intimately. Knowledge of God and intimacy with God are indelibly related and has a direct bearing on conscious activity. That of knowing God intimately. Knowledge of God and intimacy with God are indelibly related and has such a direct bearing on conscious activity. An awareness of God is directly proportional to one's knowledge of God. God consciousness or conscience is affected by one's knowledge of God or ignorance of God. Now, I do want to interject when I talk about the church perhaps failing in this endeavor. I do not mean all churches in all locations, for we are one body, but there seems to be a laxing in the intensity with which we want to hold this as the absolute standard. In some ways, I hear conversations that go, well, yes, I'm absolute, but you know what, if you messed up here, in these few points, well, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It is okay in the sense that Jesus Christ on the cross has taken care of all of it. But the scripture does tell us to not make provisions for the flesh. We don't just plan on missing the mark, knowing that we are covered by grace. But our God consciousness should make our hearts, shall I say, strive, pursue, require, have the motive of wanting to be in the full absolute of what is already ours via the cross. Now, why is it important to have an ever-increasing knowledge of God? because of a conscious activity, which is a person's reflecting on their behavior in light of God's word and character. For this conscience to perform correctly, knowledge of God is imperative. As far as the Old Testament is concerned, behavior is judged in light of relationship, a relationship with God Himself. Now, I want to point out that in the process of conscious activity, that of reflecting on one's behavior in light of God's character, something very remarkable takes place. It forces a person to recognize self. Who I am is developed as one sees who He, God Almighty, is. That should create a motive and a desire and a zeal in my heart to be like Christ. No, I'm not trying to say we're all little gods running around, but that there is a likeness. And the scriptures tell us that even as we look upon God and behold Him as in a mirror, that we are changed, our character, our being is changed into the likeness of God Almighty. So even though we are not gods, and I want to make that perfectly clear because some people have made that assumption, that we are to have the likeness of our Father. There is a resemblance in the way we look, the way we talk, the way we act, so that someone can tell, I know whose family they belong to. They belong to the God of creation family. They belong to the family that their head went to the cross and made us totally free to be in His family forever because of what He did at the cross. Now, we can say we have to answer the age-old question of who am I? You see, the natural result of God consciousness is an awareness of oneself. The conscience allows a person to look at themselves in light of God's word and character. Both being and behavior are related primarily to God's character as revealed in His word. And then I just want to say one issue here. Society that has even invaded the true church of God has caused character to take a bad hit. Character almost has turned into just relativism. No, our character needs to be absolute, based on God. Amazing, God gifted the Old Testament saints with a gift beyond compare, one that not only allowed him a sense of well-being through right living, but also one who drove the repentant sinner into the arms of a merciful God. So today, we do have a choice. We can pursue the absolutes of God's standard, not trying to weave our own standard in and co-mingle with Him, but to have His standard and then let the overflow of love and freedom and joy of being in the eternal family of God via the cross be ours. And then we relax in His sufficiency of who He is, what He has done, and what He continues to do, not only today, next week, next month, next year, but throughout time and eternity. Hope today has given you some insights on the wiles of the enemy that is overcome by training a good conscience by the precious promises in the Word of God, by the Spirit giving us light and understanding as we travel the path of eternal life.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to SharonHearts.com. www.crossroads.org/crossroads.